Welcome to City on a Hill's podcast. This week's podcast can be downloaded on iTunes or our media library at chccny.com.
Well, here we are. We're in a series, Jesus in 3D. How many of you have been here for the whole series? It started on Easter. Well, we've had a lot of fun the last two weeks. And I really feel like God is going to do something here this morning. I don't say that a lot, but I feel it. And you can feel it in the room even after that skit. So I'm just praying, Lord, I just pray that hearts would be open. Lord, you've already, the way has already been paved here this morning. You are here in this place. Lord, I ask that everyone would reach out and grab hold of you. Lord, I ask that we would recognize you. Lord, I ask that we would see you right next to us in the aisle, in the seat next to us. Lord, your presence is here, and we ask that you would move on us as a people. Lord, we don't want to leave the same way we came in. Father, do what only you can do, but may Jesus Christ be glorified and lifted up and exalted in this place. May everyone have a new image, a new picture of an old story. May they see how hauntingly beautiful you are in the Gospels. May we accept you for who you are, not who we want you to be, but who you actually are. Give us the real deal, Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Can I start with a few questions? Is that all right? How long can the average human being go without food? Say no. Average human being. How long? What do you think? 60 days? 2 weeks? Anybody else? It's all right if you're wrong. It's okay. Somebody's like, I don't want to say an answer, but he's going to yell at me and tell me I'm wrong. The answer is 30 days. 30 days on average. Average human being, all right? Some of you, maybe you're like, I don't know, like Naeem, the guy you saw in the skit up here. He's like a survivalist kind of. He can go out there and maybe he'd survive more than 30 days. So this is what I want to tell you. Some of you came in here today and you said, I'm starving. I can't wait to get something to eat. You come back and talk to me in mid-May. You're not really starving. You'll be okay. Now, let me give you another question, right? You ready for this? So, how long, right, can you go without eating? Here's question number two. How long can you go without sleep? Guinness Book of World Records. You ready for this? No stimulants. No drugs. Randy Gardner stayed awake for 11 days. 11 days? So that means I'm expecting from you in the next 40 or 45 minutes that you don't fall asleep or I'm going to embarrass you. It's the best. If you don't know me, I'm a teacher too in a high school. And it's so funny. Once in a while, I had a kid this week. And it was like a fun activity. I wasn't boring this day. And I'm teaching, and the kid's head is like, and he's just going down, and there's like commotion in the room, and we're having, and he didn't, the bell rings, and kids are going out, and I have to go up to this kid's desk, and I'm like, hey, you got to get up. Like, first, I'm like, really nice, and I'm like, you got to get up, man. You got to go to your next class, and the kid's all startled. Probably wasn't a really good class, but I just told myself it was, right? Whatever. How about how the longest a human being can dance? You know what the record is? Over 100 hours. Somebody danced for over 100 hours? It's kind of amazing. How about walking? What do you think the longest a human being has walked? Male, over 600 miles. Female, 500 miles. It's amazing. What about how far a human being has run? Forrest Gump. Greenville, Alabama. Left my home, went all the way out west, right? I didn't stop. Tell a lot about a person by the shoes they wear. I don't want to, I could just keep going. I know a lot of the lines, right? Love to memorize movie lines and just kind of throw them out there once in a while. Isn't it amazing how resilient the human body is? Come on. The human body is so resilient, except for one thing. Except for one thing, one area where the human body is not that resilient. You know what it is? Water. Water. 3 days. 3 days. You can go without water. You can go a month without food, but you can only go 3 days. Do you ever go 1 or 2 days without water? And you get that cotton mouth? Have you ever really been thirsty before? God has created us. It's so interesting. God has created humanity in such a way that I don't need to pull out my iPhone and put in my remind myself that I need water tomorrow. And you don't either. And you may put in your phone, I'm saying, you know, I need 8 ounces of water, 8 times 64 ounces of water every single day. I'm not talking about that. You would know, your body would tell you if you're thirsty and that you need something to drink. It's pretty wild, right? You look at the human body and how fascinating it is. Can we talk about thirst this morning? Can we talk about what you're dead, but I'm going to wait. Don't worry, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to slap you around a little bit today, spiritually speaking. You're dead right now. It's all right. I'm going to wake you up. Can we talk about thirst? Can we talk about water for a little while? Can I pull you into a story that has numbed us? Can I pull us into a story where you're going to see Jesus Christ in a new way? Can I give you that story? I so enjoyed preparing for this sermon this week. I couldn't wait to get, if I don't enjoy my sermon, something's wrong. I'm never going to endure. So when I stand up here, I enjoy what I do so that I can make it. It's true. You want a preacher that doesn't enjoy the message that they've crafted? It's kind of weird. We're going to go to John chapter 4. And we're going to see Jesus in 3D again. Third week. 3D. See Jesus as he really is. I'm going to read you verses 3 through 9. And then we're going to break it down. You ready? Let's roll. Oops, we have a blackout. Pastor Linda, you know, forget it. I'm going to use my, just let me know when that's up and run. Is that, oh, it's on again. Hi, Jesus. There we are. I'll try it. Let's see if it works. You want to just hit the slide for me? All right, thank you. If somebody wants to help out over there. Here we go. All right, so we got to go to the first slide. Nope, we got to go backwards one slide. Here we go. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through. I underline, he had to go through. Not maybe I'm going to go through. He had to go through. Oh, I have to control myself through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Oh, that's loaded. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Friends, here we have a story this morning. Again, this is the theme of the series because we have a picture. I brought him back again this week. I got a couple of things here. I brought action figure Jesus back. Some of you did not meet him last week. I would like for you to meet action figure Jesus, who gives you verses. Right? This Jesus you can have. And we've been looking at Jesus and we talked a lot about it. I've showed you pictures. Look what Tabitha Dixon made me. I made a joke last week and I said, "I've never seen on a coffee cup, you are of your father, the devil," when he's talking to the Pharisees. Now when I drink my bone broth at home, I have myself a cup that says that. Yeah, Tab. Don't even try to steal my coffee mug when you leave here today. But isn't it wild? We're talking about Jesus, and we kind of look at him like he came on there and he just blew through life. And last week I said he's like Einstein, right? That he's doing the third grade science competition, experiment, whatever assignment. How many of you enjoy that? Because you do the assignment. Your kids don't do it. You wind up doing the science assignment. You know, when it's quiet like that, that means I'm preaching. Well, that means you all did it too, right? Right? It's true. But like Jesus, anyway, I'm digressing, that Jesus just kind of blew through life like that. No crying Jesus made in the manger. Jesus didn't cry. He put Joseph and Mary, hey, listen, Mary, hey, Joseph, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I got this. Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. We don't focus enough on his humanity and who he was when he walked the face of the earth. He didn't have everything just downloaded from heaven when he came into the world. He had to be breastfed. He was in Mary's uterus. The humility of God to leave his place in heaven at the right hand of the Father and to come into the world. Oh, the incarnation scandalizes. I'm spending, listen, let me tell you something. God said you're to spend 2 weeks on my scandalous freedom, Jesus' scandalous freedom. Not one. I tried to put both of them together, and they're each getting their own week. Two stories. I'm not telling you next week's story, because if I tell you, you won't come. So let me finish this story. But it's wild. Can I go back? Can we spend some time on this? Oh, this is so exciting. It said Jesus was tired. Jesus was tired? Matthew 4 says that he was hungry. John 11 says he was tearful. John 19 also says he was thirsty. Wait till I get to that at the end. We're just going to rip the roof off this place today. That he was thirsty, and here he's tired and he's thirsty as well. This is Jesus Christ. The one who formed the heavens and the earth and the waters and the creatures that are teeming in the seas. This is the same God who is now thirsty. And he wants to go through Samaria. We've been so numb by this. You hear the story. You've heard it probably since you were in Sunday school. And even if you haven't, you're in a much better spot than other people in this room. Can I show you a map? You want to see something cool? Look at this map now. On the map, this is what I want you to see, what Jesus did. This is wild. To go from Jerusalem to Galilee, if you went straight through, it was a 4-day journey. What do I mean by straight through? You see the arrow. You had to go through Samaria. That would take you 4 days. I bring that up because we know from history, Josephus and others tell us, that most Jews, when they were traveling to the Galilean region, it would take them 5 days because they would go from Jerusalem and they would go around on the other side of the Jordan River and then they'd make their way back into the Galilean region. Why would they do that? Because they hated the Samaritans. Is it all right if we learn a little bit too here? We can have some fun, but I want us to learn and understand the Bible. I want us to be biblically literate. So if somebody asks you, who are the Samaritans, you can tell them who they are. Did you know the Samaritans were part of, they came about because centuries prior to Jesus, when he's on the earth here, do you remember an event called the Babylonian captivity? I promise I won't spend a long time on this. Babylonian captivity. The Jews went to Babylon. Some of the Jews stayed there. They intermarried with Canaanites. They started their new tribe. They were called the Samaritans. They were looked at as half-breeds. Look at one British scholar. He put it really well. And he said, Paul Johnson said, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews with a religious fury and a form of local racism of the most ferocious temper. You know what this is equivalent to? Can I tell you? As a history teacher, this is equivalent to in the civil rights movement. We're in Birmingham, Alabama. This is equivalent, akin to a black man during the height of the civil rights movement in the 1960s, going up to a black woman and asking her for a ride in her car. That's what this is like when Jesus says, I'm rolling into Samaria because I have an appointment with somebody. Jewish men, listen to me, Jewish men never spoke to women they did not know. Not only that, here is Jesus in a story talking to a Samaritan, a half-breed. Jesus scandalizes. He crosses over racial. He crosses over cultural. He crosses over religious lines because that's who he is. I wish I had a church that wanted to hear this message this morning. I wish I had a church that wanted to hear it. And it says he had to go. He had to go because he had to go meet with this woman. Did you ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, why would God even bother with someone like me? Maybe I'm the only one in the room that has said that to myself. God, why would you even look at someone like me? Why would you want me? I'll take it a step further because it didn't hit home. How about you parents and you look at it and you say, why would you give me these kids to raise? I can't raise these kids. I say that every single day. When last night she's out, right? You can't make this stuff up. Nolan is way too quiet. He's hiding in the basement. Jameson went to bed. Daddy, I'm killing it at home, right? When mommy's out, I got to make sure everything's right. She gets home, everyone's alive, right? So there's nobody. The dude rips his diaper off and he pooped in it and there's waste all over and he's laughing. And he thinks it's funny. I'm like, hey, little man, just so you know, I do have a sermon to just kind of tidy up and finish for tomorrow. He didn't care. Funny, right? You parents know what I'm talking about. So it says Jesus had to go. You know what I also love about this story? You know what I love about you, Skit? Can I tell you? You look really pretty too, by the way. You know what I love about the skit? Did you hear Jesus? Naeem's not the real Jesus. He's playing Jesus. Did you hear Naeem call her by name? This is what God said to me this week as I'm reading the story. We don't have her name? Because she has no name because she has a dubious reputation. She is thirsty. We'll get to that in a second. But she's gotten around a little bit. Can we just keep it real in here? Like you saw in the skit. And the one that has no name comes to meet the name above all names. Hey, how about this? She had an appointment. She had an appointment and didn't even know it. How crazy is that? Jesus, as busy as he is in his earthly ministry, takes the time out to go visit a woman who is in Samaria, a half-breed. Somebody the Jews despise. Jesus, you have time for this? You are so busy. Come on. Can you picture the disciples? Can you picture the disciples? This was a job for Jesus. Hey, John, James, yo, Petey, I love y'all, but this is a job for me. You are not equipped to handle this woman. This woman is sassy. This woman is have you ever met a tough woman? I'm talking a tough woman. You say something, she's going to quip something back. She's going to one-up you. You're not going to win. I'm married to one. She's tough. I mean that in a good way. That's a compliment. Some of you are like, I don't know if that really is. No, it is. Oh, it is. Maybe that's not what you want, but that's what I wanted. So can we talk about this woman a little bit? Can we talk about this woman? Look, here's a picture. Look at this woman, okay? This was the best picture I could find on the internet at 11 o'clock last night. The sermon was kind of dumb, but I just got to throw some pictures so you have some visual. how come the text says she goes out at noon? I missed this. I got this from a commentary. I missed this part. I've read the story a million times. You know why I missed this? Can I tell you? Can I fill you in? Why would a woman who is despised, who has gotten around, why would she go out at noon? I've been to the Middle East and Israel and Capernaum when it was 120 degrees. Do you remember how hot it was? Those people that were there? You don't go to a well at 12 o'clock noon. Am I preaching right now? Yes. You go either early in the morning or you go late in the day. Here is a woman that is so ashamed, that is so despised, she says, the only time I can go to the well is when no one is there. How many times have you read the story? Did you see that? Because I never saw it. She goes to the well in the middle of the day because she knows it's going to be a ghost town. And she can get her water and she can go back home and she can do whatever she needs to do. She's thirsty, I said. And she's not thirsty like I'm talking about drinking water. She's thirsty. Thirsty in the, like, the urban sense. How do I keep this PG-13? It's an urban euphemism. Have you ever heard, as a high school teacher, are you with me, Mr. Walcott, right over there? You hear kids talk, and you hear kids say, and I learned things I didn't want to learn. She's thirsty, but not for this kind of water. You get what I'm saying? Is a message getting across to you, or are you too religious? She's thirsty. She's been thirsty for some time. Pastor Linda, you uncomfortable? A little bit? I knew it. I knew it. He is utterly free from religious and social prejudices. He doesn't care. He comes on the scene and he just wants to meet this girl. And look what he says. Look at this. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "How you doing, girl?" Giving you like the modern translation, vernacular. "Will you give me a drink?" This girl's reaction. She's being asked by this Jew for, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" The audacity for you, a Jew, to ask me, a Samaritan, for something to drink. And then you go to verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "I know you're not talking to me because you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And you know, that's the way it is in church sometimes. Can I be really honest? Can I cross another line here? Some of you in here, you think I'm preaching to your wife. I'm not talking to your wife. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to your thirsty self. You think you come to church, or maybe you're the, maybe you think I'm talking to your wife. I mean, I'm talking to the husband. I don't know. But you think I'm talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. This message isn't for somebody else. It's for you. But sometimes we come in and we think, you should clap for that. But we think sometimes the message is for somebody else. That's really not for me. We're all thirsty. Every single one of us in this place is thirsty. And some of us try to quench our thirst with sex. Some of us try to quench our thirst with success and achievement. Some of us, you know how we try to do it? We try to use religion. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, the person next to you, you, me, we're all thirsty. Thirsty! But we don't admit it. And you know what we do? You know what we're so good at? We have a soul. And just like we can be dehydrated without physical water, spiritually speaking, we can have dehydrated souls. Because we're not taking the bucket of our soul and dipping it into things that will ultimately satisfy. We're thirsty. And we wonder why we're lonely. We wonder why we're so anxious. We wonder why we're so sleepless. Because we're taking our bucket and putting it in the wrong well. We are trying to fill up with things that at the end of the day aren't going to, and all liquid, I could go, could I go for 20 minutes on water, just on water? All water is not created equal. Did you know that? The pH, the Poland Spring over there, that's okay. There's no government regulation on the water. All water is not the same. All liquid is not the same. If I said, I'm so thirsty, I just need something to drink, and I took out pancake syrup, because that is liquid, that's going to make me thirstier. But that's what we do spiritually. Why am I so thirsty? Why are my lips parched? I want something to drink. And here Jesus comes on the scene and he talks to this woman who is ashamed. She may even be offended, but she's a survivor. She's learned how to get what she wants. She knows how to manipulate people, right? She knows what to do. She's thirsty. She wakes up in the morning and she's thirsty. We can't relate to this, but she wakes up in the morning. Did they look at my picture? Did they see my new profile picture that I just uploaded? Did they like my post on Facebook? Did they like it? How thirsty we can be. We go on Snapchat, we go on Instagram, and we post all this. We're so thirsty. When it's that silent, boom, I hit the bullseye. Bullseye. Boom. I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking to you. I'm preaching to myself. We're all so thirsty. But here it is. We may get filled for a little bit. We may get filled for a little bit. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if we put our validation in somebody else's hands, we're going to have to continue to go back to them for our validation. Did you get that? We're going to have to continue to go back to them. So if we're constantly going, I'm so thirsty, like my post, look at me, look what I just did. It's sickening. It is. I have to preach this stuff. It's a new day. Pastor Linda, Pastor Joe didn't have to preach about this. They didn't have the internet years ago, right? You didn't have any of this. But it's a new day. And we're thirsty. And I know some of you are going, that's why I don't go on Facebook. That's why I don't go on social media. Yeah, well, why do you go to the outlets? Why do you go to the mall? Why do you eat Doritos? Why do you put so much pressure on your kids to do what you never did before? You're thirsty. I see it every single day. Why are you putting pressure on your young kids? I do it too. I find myself doing it. I don't want to do it. Stop being so thirsty, James. Because my oldest, right? He maybe is not into some of the same stuff yet that I was into when I was his age. And I say, why isn't he more like his dad? Why are you so thirsty, though, I feel like God says to me. I made him in my image. He's going to be different than you. He may have your genes, but I made him in my image, and he's going to do what I want him to do. I told you, I'm into this. And here comes Jesus. I can move the cup. And he sits down. I'm not going to fall. It's not going to fall because I'm going to catch it. And he sits down at the well. And on the surface, she loves me. On the surface, it looks like a pickup line. It looks like a pickup line. Did you see the skit? That's how she saw it. Here is a woman that has been thirsty. I picture a beautiful woman that men are constantly looking at and they're gawking at and their heads are, whoa, who's that? She had a reputation. But we know he's not hitting on her because it's Jesus. You're supposed to go, yep. He's not trying to receive something from her. He's trying to release something to her. You didn't get it. She thinks
He's coming to the well and asking for a drink. Can you give me something to drink? He was tired because in the Middle Eastern, going from sunup to sundown, Jesus was tired and he needed something to drink. But when he gets there, he's saying, I don't want this water. I have something to release to you that'll change your life, woman. It's going to change you. You just need to see it. And what I love about this is he's going to trap her. Look at this. Look what it says in 4:14. But, Jesus speaking, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I love this. One scholar, you know what one scholar pointed out? Because I didn't see this either. I thought this was kind of cool. The scholar said, Jesus never says you're never going to feel thirsty again. He says, when you do get thirsty, you're going to have somewhere to drink from. Because we're all going to be thirsty. He's saying, I have a place for you to go where you can drink, and I'm going to meet all of your needs according to my wonderful riches. Going to meet all your needs. But she doesn't really see it, and then he traps her. You know, did I tell you the title of this message today? John, did I tell you the title of the message? Because I don't think I did. I didn't tell you the title. Did you get the title? Did you get a title? Because I didn't give a title. I'm just making sure you're awake. The title of the message, you know what the title of the message is? The tourist trap. The tourist trap. Because Jesus, this is how I'm looking at the text. I don't think Jesus spent a lot of time in this place called Sychar. I don't think he spent a lot of time there. He comes in, and you know what a tourist trap is. A tourist trap is a place where tourists go and they get you, the people out of there. The only problem is, this guy is not a tourist. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and he rolls on the scene and he says, I'm here because I have a purpose and I'm going to speak into your life, woman. And he traps her. All through Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees, right? They tried to trap him. Did the Sadducees try to trap him? The Roman officials and the Jewish officials, the Sanhedrin, they thought they had him. And they thought by putting him on a cross, they had him trapped and it was done. It looked that way. It looked like Jesus was trapped. And then how about this? Look at 4:11. Look at this. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? This is why I brought this in today. I brought in a little bucket, because I don't want you to ever forget this story. I'm feeling it this week, and I'm going, you know what? I need to bring a bucket in. You ready for this? I'm going to drop it. Jesus is trying to tell her, you're the bucket. You're the bucket, woman. I'm going to fill you up with my life. Put that other bucket away. You don't need it anymore. All you need is my life. You're the bucket. Amen. That's good. I thought that was good. Amazing when you see, isn't Jesus so beautiful when you just take him as he is? When he comes on the scene in these stories, we've gotten a two-dimensional view. Please, we need a three-dimensional view. We need to see Jesus and all his personality and all his glory. He traps this woman. Now he has her. Look what he does. You heard this in the skit. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. You know when you like kind of tell half, was she lying that she didn't have a husband? Was she lying? No, but right, technically, no. You don't ever do that, right? I never do that. He's got her. Don't you love the brilliance
of this rabbi who comes on the scene in a foreign place and sets a trap for a woman that nobody cares about, that is marginalized, that is excluded? Don't you love who this guy is when he comes on the scene? Go get your husband. And then she's like, yeah, okay. And then she says in verse 15, what does she say? Yeah, if there's some sort of free refills, I'll take them. Where are the free refills? I want it. Where is this water, teacher? Where is this water that you're talking about? So I won't have to keep performing. So I won't have to keep looking to other people for my validation. I won't have to go on here. I can know that my validation is found in you. Man, we need this message, friends. We need this message more than ever, more so our generation. We need this. We really need to get this. And he's saying, I want to give you something that comes from within, that doesn't matter what happens with your bank account. If your bank account decreases, it doesn't matter what happens with the biopsy. He's saying, I want to give you something that will transcend all of that, that will get you through your struggle, that'll make you get through it, that he'll help make a way, because he's a way maker. He makes a way. And then I love this. Look at verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Can I give you like the modern vernacular? Oh, I get it. I see what you're talking about. You're on to something, Jesus. You are on to something. She's starting to see it. Can we get our minds blown what this woman did? This woman who is despised in her region, probably. We don't have a lot of details. But can I take you to the end of the story? Can you move down to verse 28 through 30? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Wow, this is what I hope you never forget. Did you ever notice in the story? Here is a woman. She never even took her bucket home. She left her bucket and went on the way because she realized she was that bucket and he was the living water. I don't need the bucket anymore. I don't need it. And God is saying to us in here today, you can leave your bucket in this church today. You can leave your bucket and you can go out of this place and stop trying to perform. We're going a little deeper here. Stop trying to perform. Stop trying to do all these things that you don't have to do any of that anymore to get to me. I'm going to fill you with living water. You don't have to be thirsty again. Oh, it's such a beautiful story. And then how about this? Look at this last verse. Look at this. Ready? 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Are you kidding me? Jesus uses a thirsty woman to transform an entire region. Did you ever see that in this story? Come on, this is kind of cool. The Bible's not boring. She's the reason, the catalyst. Jesus comes to town. He has an appointment with her because he wants to transform the entire region. And I love it too. You win people sometimes by invitation, not explanation. All she did was say, you have to come back. I don't have all the answers. I don't know the whole gospel. I don't know everything. But all I want you to do is meet the Jesus that I met. Because if I just get you within his distance, if I can just get you in his presence, you will see that he is the Son of God. We're trying to explain everything all the time. Just invite people to see the real Jesus and they will fall in love. And he's, you know, just by using her, by using a woman that was trashed by society, who her whole, everything, her past, everyone looks at her and her past and all the things that she did. And I said to Megan, I was like trying to articulate this. And I said to myself, I don't want to get too deep, but I just geek out and I think about stuff and I'm trying to phrase stuff. And I'm going, you know what we do sometimes? We cheat on our future with our past. We cheat on our future with our past. All she kept doing, all she ever heard was about who she was and all the things that she did. And here comes the master teacher. Here comes the rabbi who says, I don't care what you did. I know where you're going, girl. I know what kind of future you have. I love her authenticity. Can I just finish up now? What time is it? What time is it? So I know how. It's 11:26. Can you give me 10 minutes? Can you give me 10? I think it's worth your while. Because there's another story. Josh, I wish I had more time to fully exegete this. But there is another time that we see Jesus thirsty. I was going to use this for like a Palm Sunday message for like next year, but I was like, I can't. I got to use it now. Just totally way too into it. Can we see Jesus when he's on the cross and he says, I thirst? Can we go there? After he walked 650 yards uphill with a cross. Look what the text says in John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, oh, I love this, parentheses, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. After this, after Barabbas was released, after Peter denied me three times, after they beat me and bruised my back, after they put a crown of thorns on my head, after the blood ran down my face and my brow, Jesus said, it was finished. What do you mean? What is he talking about? What is he talking about here? This is what I'm trying to tell us this morning. It was a trap. Jesus is setting another trap at the end of his life. We think that Judas set Jesus up. Judas didn't set Jesus up. The Pharisees, they set Jesus up. No, they didn't. The Sadducees did. No, they didn't. Pilate set Jesus up. No, he didn't. Herod set Jesus up. No, he didn't. Heaven set Jesus Christ up that day. It was heaven all along. God knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing on the cross. Have you ever lived? Can I talk about parentheses? My wife the other day, remember I told you about God's grammar? My wife sent me something, I'm not going to get fully into because it deserves its own sermon. I'm going to have a sermon just on God's grammar. When you look at the parentheses here, look at this. Have you ever felt like you were living in the parentheses? Have you ever felt like you were in the wilderness and you didn't know how to get out? Have you ever felt like you were at the Red Sea? And you're looking out there and you don't know how you're going to make it through. Have you ever been in a tight place living in the parentheses and you don't know how you're going to get out? Have you ever been there before? The parentheses. This is huge. I wish I had a lot more time, but let's just suffice it to say this. Jesus was offered right here. He was offered sour wine. This is not the first time that Jesus is offered something to drink. In Mark's gospel, he tells us they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, which was a sedative. But Jesus said, I don't want it. And that's its own sermon for next year. I started writing it this week already. It's a whole sermon in that. Jesus says, I don't want it. I don't want your sedative. But here, Jesus is on the cross. And what are they doing? When they give him the sour wine and he takes it, they are mocking him. They are mocking our Jesus. But he takes it. You want to know why?
because there are over 300 messianic, right, psalms and prophecies, I should say prophecies, about who Jesus was, about who he'll be, right? And he's stuck on 299. And Jesus says, there's one more thing that I have to do before I go. And it's to drink this wine. He used what they were using to mock him to finish the race that his father had set out before him. How awesome is that? Oh, I'm not done. You ready for the best part? Are you ready for the best part of this? This is what I think is the best part. We live in the parentheses. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ did. When he was on that cross, excuse me, bucket. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, the devil thought he had him. Death thought he had him. Death did not trap Jesus 2,000 years ago on a cross. Jesus trapped death. Jesus Christ trapped death. Are you kidding me? What are you doing? Clap. I don't care if it's not Easter. This is an Easter sermon and you're an Easter people. Death thought he had him. We got him. And there's Satan and all of his minions. We got Jesus now. Jesus said, I set a trap for you, death, because I'm going to overcome you. And 3 days later, I'm going to come right out of that tomb. I'm going to kick that stone away. You didn't have me. I knew what I was doing the whole time. I set the trap for you, Satan, and you took the bait. I still have 4 minutes, but I'm only going to take two. I'm only going to take two. Did you know when you look at Psalm 69, I don't know where it went, but it's gone. Maybe, forget it. You go. This is what I want you to look at. I'll just pull it up on my phone. If you go to Psalm 69, you can do this on your own. I want you to look at this. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull it up on my phone. When you go to Psalm 69, oh, this is brilliant. This is so beautiful, and you go through there. This is a psalm, a messianic psalm that David wrote centuries prior to Jesus ever entering the earth. And it says here, David, writing about Jesus, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also, listen to this, they also gave me gall for my food and for my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. Centuries prior, David is prophesying about the Messiah, but he's prophesying only about Jesus Christ. David said it centuries prior that Jesus was going to trap death. God knew exactly what he was doing. God knows exactly. It may look like, listen to me, you may be living in the parentheses right now. Music team, come on up. I'm done. You may be living in the parentheses right now. But listen, don't forget that the Red Sea that is before you, God is going to use the Red Sea and part it, and he's going to drown his enemies in it. It may look like you're in a tight place, but he knows what he's doing. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Do you like this Jesus? You enjoying this Jesus the past couple of weeks? The real Jesus? How awesome is this story of the woman at the well? Now that you know a lot more details, how he rolls into town, takes the long way, tells the disciples, boys, go to the Bonefish Grill, go get some food, bring it back. Comes back, meets this woman. He's amazing. Lord, I thank you for this series. Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for your people because I sense a hunger and a thirsty. Lord, the people want more of you. Lord, I ask that you would do that. That you would fill every heart to the brim. Lord, when we get thirsty, because we're going to get thirsty, I ask that we dip the bucket of our soul, Lord, that we dip it into you, and that we would look to you to satisfy, because only you satisfy. And Lord, anybody that's living in the parentheses here in this place right now, they're in the parentheses, they don't know how things are going to work out. Lord, I ask that they would remember
this story. I would ask that they'd remember what you did. Amen. But you know what? It's hard because you know what I wanted to get into? And I don't know, it's for another day. But sometimes you're in a position right now, tell me this won't be a sermon. You're in a position right now where you're looking for God to do something. And the biggest obstacle to God doing something in your life is the way he did things in the past in your life. Did you hear what I said? What he's already done in your life is the obstacle because we're expecting God to move in the same way. And God would say to you today, I'm not going to move in the same way. Don't forget the way I did move, but I'm moving in a new way coming forward in 2018. And God wants to free someone here today. He wants to start playing. Come on, we can play. We need to realize he wants to free us. Free us. You can walk out of here and just go, hey man, whatever, just another sermon. Yeah. Put God first. Yeah. It's the only water that satisfies. Nothing else is going to satisfy.
Thanks for listening to City on a Hill's podcast. For more resources, visit us at chccny.com.